You are listening to Pastor Damon Moore, brought to you by City Place Church in Orlando, Florida. For more information, visit us online at cityplacechurch.com. Now, here's this week's message from Pastor Damon Moore.
We have missed you. You just heard Taisha say that we were away in Israel this week. I'll give you a little bit of a glimpse into all that God did here in a second, but she was away for 3 weeks. Did she say that part? Yes. Imagine how I felt. Went to the holy place while she was gone, just like really having to pray a lot more while she was away. But so many different things has been happening here at City Place Church. What we wanted to do today was just kind of shorten the church news, but just share with you a barrier. Our theme for the year is to break barriers. That's what we felt like the Lord spoke to us, that we were going to break barriers this year. And we had this crazy prayer. We said, Lord, we want to give 1% of all of the tithe that comes into to City Place Church. We wanted to sow it into the nation of Israel. And we said it in just like a faith thing. Well, we were at a conference, my wife and I, we were at a conference, and the pastors there said, well, what's on your heart this year? And we said, we want to go to Israel. It's in our heart to go. And without hesitation, he goes, we can get you there. And right as we were sharing what God had put in our heart, God had already given us the answer to what, just to confirm what he had put in our heart. And so last week, we were in Israel, and the main reason why we wanted to go was not so that we can tour the Holy Land, but we wanted to find some ministries that were on the ground sowing into the lives of people. And what we found was when we got there, was I said it during worship earlier, is that there are 3 million people in the nation, but only 30,000 that believe and have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. A Jewish Jesus, his nation is declining him. Are you with me? And you and I serve a Jewish Jesus, but sometimes we don't even know what's taking place where Jesus walked. And so when you go there, it really shifts our mind as to why we're doing what we're doing and how we communicate the gospel to you. And so if you don't mind, over the next few weeks, you're probably going to be seeing a different level of passion, a different level of God's word, is because when you go to the place where Jesus was, you realize that you don't know anything. And so they were breaking down words to us, and they were really showing us what I don't know. And what's amazing was that the guy that took us through on our tour, he was a Jewish man, who, when we talked to him about the resurrection, he said, I can't go there. But the amount of scripture he knew caused me to say, I need to go back and study. The reason why is because the relationship that he wanted with God got him so far, and he was going to absorb it. But the freedom that he needed in Jesus, he didn't want yet. And I came back thinking, I wonder how far I take it, and when do I stop in the freedom that Jesus has for me? And I say, I have enough. So this morning, I'm going to preach like crazy because it's been a week. It's been a week. I don't know if y'all were here last week. We had Pastor Micah Billingsley come in. Were y'all here last week? Did y'all enjoy Pastor Micah? Yeah. Pastor Micah, he just plays around with the gospel texts and all those different things. He had been for a while, and he was telling me, y'all need to go to Israel. It's cool to go to where Jesus walked. It's cool when you go and you walk in places where Jesus walked. And we were on a bus with 50 other pastors and ministry leaders from all across the world, South Africa, Australia, New Zealand, Ireland. And it's amazing to see the transformation in everyone's life when they've been preaching the gospel, but then the gospel starts preaching to you. And it's just cool. That's just a glimpse. There was times when we were praying for people. There were times when people were praying for us, and we're walking in these cities. And what's really cool is to be a part of. We did a serve day. We did a serve day in Tiberias. And what was amazing was the guys told us a little bit later that the mayor, who's Jewish, allowed for a Christian group of people to serve them, and he's on the same platform with the leaders, declaring an amazing response to who Jesus is. Are you with me? And the one of the guys, he said he had this really cool quote. He said, who loves through a trash bag? And it resonated that sometimes in order to reach people, I have to love them a different way than just you need to know Jesus. Because in Israel, the main reason why people don't serve Jesus was because Western Christians came over and started killing Jews in behalf of their Western Jesus. How many times have we turned people off because of the Jesus we think we know? Turn to Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37, we are, I did a series, we're in the middle actually of a series called Drop the Mic, and we've had special guests come in, and the whole purpose of Drop the Mic is to find stories in God's word where when Jesus just walks off the stage, he's just like, boom, I'm done, that's it. You meditate on it, I'm going to the next thing. And so we've been just bringing life into this environment, and my weeks, I've been kind of like a sub-series inside of the series, and it's called Mind the Gap. When we went to Europe, when you get off of the train, people have been known to fall between the tracks because they didn't mind the gap. There's literally a big gap between the place where they are and the place where they want to go. Watch me, I'm already preaching just so you know. There's a gap between the place where you are and the place you want to go. There's a gap. And so when you get to Europe, particularly in London, this is what they say. Seriously, we experience it. You hear this voice that says, mind the gap. And then it says it again. As soon as it pulls up to you, it says, mind the gap. And what it is it causes you to realize that where you are, there is a gap, period, to your destination. You have to pay attention to the gap, period. Are you with me? I'm going to catch you up 1 week. 2 weeks, get you out of here. We'll smile, hug, do all those other things, get some snacks and be done. Mind the gap. So in the first week, we talked about the man who was sitting outside of the temple in the book of Acts. And the Bible says that Peter and John were going up Acts chapter 3 and Acts chapter 4. If you want to catch it up, you can on our podcast. Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 4 says that Peter and John were going up at the hour of prayer. And while they were walking into the temple, there was a man who was lame since he was born, it says. Are you with me? Talk back to me. That way I know y'all with me. If you fall asleep, I'll come and preach to you so that you can stay with me. And so it says that they were walking into the temple. As they walked into the temple, the man looked up and said, hey, give me some money. All right? So here we have a lame man who actually needs the ability to walk, but he asked for money. You with me? So the Bible says that Peter and John, they're going into the temple, and they look at him. He makes eyes with them. He says, can I have some money? And contrary to his request, the Bible says that Peter looks at him and says, I don't got money. But what I do have is what you really need, so I'm going to give it to you right now. And he says, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. Now watch. Watch. Remember, there is a gap between where I am and where I need to go. Are you with me? Peter says, rise up and walk. But when you read the story, it says that Peter says, rise up and walk. And immediately, the Bible says, Peter reaches out his hand and pulls the man up. Do you know what Peter was saying? If I just let the word of God hang out there, there'll be a gap period between your hearing God's word and your response to God's word. I told you I was away for a week. I'm coming out hot. If this is your first time, I do this every week. There could be a gap period between when God says something and when God does something. So what Peter does is, you're going to be my associate. Peter says, I'm going to mind the gap. I'm going to have you react and respond to what God said immediately so that there is no hesitation. Well, should I? Will he? When will he? I don't feel anything. What he said, is it true? I don't really know. God, why am I out here? You said it, but I'm not seeing anything. You promised, but I'm not seeing anything. When will it happen? Peter says, I'm going to mind the gap for you right now. So he lifts him up. He lifts him up. Watch now. And so he lifts him up, and the Bible says that the man gains strength in his ankles and in his feet. No gap. It says that after he gains strength, it says that he starts walking I got you. I'll take it from here just in case you're not as good of an actor. He says, look, the Bible says he starts walking. Okay, and watch the progression, filling up the gap. He was lame. Get up. I got strength in my ankles. Close gap. It says walking, leaping, praising God. The man has his faith activated, responds to it, no gap. Feet gain strength. He says, let me make sure that there is no gap. He starts walking. He could have kept walking, but I wonder if in his mind he said, I wonder what's the next level of my faith. So he starts leaping. Oh, this works. Then he says, let me see if there's not going to be another gap. Let me see if I can extend my faith. He starts praising God. Now, I don't know what he did, but the Bible says he walked, he leaped, he praised God. I'm going as fast as I can to get you caught up so that we can get you out of here. It says, you want me to take my time? You're just joking. You want me to take my time? You want me to do what you want? So look, so he's walking and leaping, praising God. And the Bible says after that, he says, and then he went into the temple with Peter and John, walking and leaping and praising God. So watch. So he walks and he leaps, and then he's going into the temple, walking, leaping, praising God. I wonder why the Bible would say that. Because while he was going into God's house, he could have went into, I'm healed. But the Bible says that he continued to walk, leap, and praise God because he didn't want the gap. See, you and I have to mind the gap between when God says something and God does something, because there is a gap period between where you are and where you're trying to go. So the Bible says that he's walking and leaping with praising God. It says that he gets into the temple. He hears a great message like you're hearing today. Cow. Strike a pose. Let's get to it. Vogue. Ah, Madonna. No, we don't need her right now, do we? No, Lord. Touch her. Touch her. So it says that he's walking, leaping, praising God, goes into the temple, hears a great message. But something happens while he's in. It says that when he comes out, he's leaning on Peter. Huh? You mean to tell me that you're walking and leaping and praising God all by yourself, but when you come out, you're leaning? I wonder if there's a portion and a period where his faith was taking a roller coaster ride and he felt like he still needed to lean because there was a gap period between walking out of church. And I wonder if I can keep walking. Have you ever been in a place where your faith is high and you don't need to lean on nobody? And then your faith gets low and you find yourself leaning. Some of us are still leaning when you have enough strength, power, and authority already running to you. Some of you are asking God for things that you don't really need, but it's just what you want, instead of allowing God to give you what you need. Sometimes the thing that you need is not packaged in the money you might need. Sometimes you just need the power and the name of Jesus. They say it like this in Israel, you need Yeshua. You need Yeshua. You need the name that is above every other name, the name that I fought to get to. The name that when I realized that who he was, I will risk everything for his name. We sat in a room with a group of pastors, and they were telling the stories of how so many were coming against them and how they had to fight for the name of Jesus and how they were desperate to get to God's house and how when they received one person who said yes to Jesus that they would celebrate for months, because there was a gap period between when God said and they felt like God did. Are you with me? You have some sermon notes, and I'm just going to catch you up. Here's the first thing that you have to do and grab hold of in the gap. You have to realize that God is revealing himself to you in the gap. God is revealing himself to you inside of your worship guide. There are some sermon notes. There should also be a pen. Realize that God is revealing himself to you, but watch now, this is normally where I ignore his plan. God's talking, God's revealing himself, but sometimes when I put things in cruise control, I ignore him because, again, I want the money. Peter, give me the money. And God says, no, you need my power. You need the name of Jesus. See, God's trying to reveal himself to me, and I ignore his plan. Have you ever been guilty of wanting to do your plan versus his plan. Are you here? Jeremiah 29 says, you will seek me and find me when you, hello, you, when you search for me, not when I come looking for you. How many of us, God, meet me here. God, meet me in my moment. And God's like, hey, I found you, find me. I told the church this 2 weeks ago. I said, if you're giving God 80%, you're giving him nothing. I know that sounds really bad because I'm giving you everything I got. I know we're not. I said this, a level 10, the Bible says that Moses went up to the mountain. It says that when Moses came down, his face was glowing. I haven't had my face glow yet. And if it was glowing this morning, we'd have crazy church. You know what I'm saying? The only reason why my face may be glowing is because of Vaseline. Anybody know what Vaseline is? You get that? It's that thick lather. It's just like, just the thick lather for shiny reasons. But the Bible says that you will find me, promise from God, you will find me when I have all 100% of you. Are you here? See, in the gap is where God reveals himself to me, but sometimes I ignore it. Second thing, God wants to cleanse me in the gap, but this is normally where I resist his plan. So I ignore, and then I resist. I'm good. I think I'm good. I think I'm fine. But don't work on the places that I know are toxic because I'm comfortable with the toxic. See, we all know the thing that we know is wrong, but we really enjoy because the flesh side of us don't want to give it up. God's challenged us to go higher, but we say no. See, that's the reason why it's hard to get to 100%. Some of you know it. Some of you know it. We walk in here with an addiction and we come into God's house and we're like, oh, waymaker, yeah, gloriosa, in Spanish. What? Yeah. And then we go right back out and we weren't changed. Why? Because in his presence, he's trying to cleanse us, but we're still resisting. Like, oh, no, you don't. And some of us will say things like this. He knows my heart. And then we have an out. He's still working on me. So what that does is that allows us to put it in cruise control. Don't mind the gap. It allows us to lean. Jesus died for me. I know it. He cleansed all my sins. Therefore, I know that when I'm sinning, his grace, I receive it. So we sit in grace versus allowing him to cleanse us. Y'all all right? I don't mean to hit nobody over the head if I am. Blame it on the jet lag. Okay. Here's what I realized. As I'm going through the process, the man is being healed. He goes in the temple, comes out of the temple. He's leaning a little bit. I realized this, that it is possible to be healed, but not be whole. It's possible to be in church and the process of recovery still take place. Here's what I realized. It's okay. Let God do that. Let God fix you up. Let God get you to the place to where it's okay to lean for a season. I just can't lean the whole journey. I can't lean the whole journey. See, because the Bible says that Jesus cleansed 10 lepers in Luke. And it says that one came back, fell down, worshiped him. Jesus looked at him and said, hey, I cleansed 9. I cleansed all 10, but only one came back. He says, because you came back, why don't you leave whole? See that? See, you and I can limp in the church, receive something from God, go out and feel like I got mine. Somebody else sitting right beside you can come back next week in full desperation, greater intensity. Thank you for what you did this week. If it had not been for you, and he said, oh, you're whole. Man, I would hate to be one of the 9. I've been guilty of it. You know why I've been guilty of it? Because I have a list of things I need him to do. And after he does the first thing, well, that means you should do the second thing. So while I'm working on my list, I really don't have time to praise you past your answering my request because I got to get to the second thing. Anybody else like that? We've all been there when we've got the big one. We've got healing of my body. And it's taking so long that we forget the fact that even in the process of healing, I woke up one more day. Come on, somebody. Even while I'm waiting for the big, he's doing the small. If I would just come back with worship, I can leave whole. I feel fired up and ready to go. Oh, man, I wrote this down, and it's right under, it's possible to be healed but not whole. Watch this, y'all. Many of us take from him and give him nothing in return. I would hate to just be a consumer in my relationship with Jesus. We went to Israel, and I realized how much I had taken from him. How much I had just absorbed, put some things in cruise control, and then I saw the desperation of a people who walk into a service on a weekend. Watch, this is a true story. We heard it. There are churches where we literally were sitting in the room where other non-believing people had urinated week after week after week to try to push them away from having a Jesus encounter. And so the pastor would get there on Friday, ready for church, and he would have to mop up the urine. Show up the next week, mop up the urine. Showing up every single week with no promise that someone would say yes to Jesus. But he knew that there was a period between when God said something that he had to step over the gap to get to the destination. One pastor said, we've been months without having one response. He said, but when that one response says yes, he said that we will go upside down crazy because we realized that there was a process. There was a beginning, there was a gap period, and there's a destination. So when we said yes to Jesus, we went all in. We would take the blows, and I'd sweep up the pee and clean up the pee. Because if only one says yes, then me saying yes was worth the process of the gap period so that I can get them to their destination, because them getting to their destination is me getting to my destination. Are you with me? I feel a little old school preaching. I caught myself. I was about to get a little rumble in my voice. Feel my help coming. Oh, it changes you. It changes you when you've been in cruise control and you didn't know it. And you see people who love Jesus not because they have to, but because they get to. That's one of City Place's core values. Some of us feel like we have to. No, you get to. Wrote this down. When God is cleansing me, I discover more of who he is and who I am. When you read Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 4, it says that the man was leaning on Peter. And it says that Peter, while the man was leaning, decides that he's going to share with all of the people who have now experienced this man's miracle. And he says that Jesus died. You were the ones that crucified him. But don't worry about that, because Jesus died so that you can have a relationship with him. He's already forgiven you of your sins. And the Bible says that the people responded, yes, we want to know. Yes, we want to know. Yes, we want to know. When you get to Acts chapter 4, I think it's like somewhere between 10 and 13 or something like this, 13, 14. It says that the man went from leaning to standing with Peter and John. I wonder if the thing that he needed was to hear the gospel presented in its fullness, in an unreligious way, outside of the temple, when he heard that Jesus Christ died for him. And he said, oh, yeah, I get it now. So my starting place was, I was lame, got a little strength in the ankles, walking, leaping, praising God. Let me walk, leap, praise God. I go into the temple. I come out like, oh, wait a second, something's missing. Let me lean on these dudes, because they were the ones that were with me when I first started walking. Peter starts preaching. Wait a second. Oh, Jesus is real? I heard you. But you mean to tell me that I don't need to be with you? all the time? You mean to tell me that I can take Jesus home? You mean to tell me that I can spend my own time with Jesus, Peter? That's what I just heard you say. So instead of me leaning, I'll stand. I'll stand. I'll stand right beside you. Why? Because when God said something to me, you filled the gap. I got to a destination. I wasn't comfortable in that destination. God rocked back a little bit going into the church. That's fine. But you shared Jesus with me. You mean to tell me Jesus can be my own? Let's do this. I'm ready. I'm good, Peter. I'm good, Peter. I got you. Don't worry, Peter. I'm with you. Isn't it amazing that when we mind the gap, God fills all the places. He reveals himself, but then reveals me. Oh, you mean to tell me I can stand on my own? Can I tell you, you walked in here this morning, and there is a Jesus that if you and I lean into him, you can stand on your own. Doesn't mean that you can't be in community because he was with them, and his faith rose. But you've got Jesus's power available to you this morning, and by the end of our service, I'd like to offer that to you. Because through a relationship with Jesus, you're hearing Jesus' name preached this morning. If you grab hold of Jesus, you can leave here like, yeah, he's for me. Let's do this. Which means you can walk into your home, look at the attacks that's coming into your family, say, that is not God's design for me. Let's go. Some of you can step out for the very first time today and make Jesus the Lord of your life. There's no need to just assume. No. You know what? If everything that Pastor Damon is talking about is true, let's try this. Let's try this. So you're probably like, what about Genesis 37, right? Right? Were you thinking that? I was thinking it too. Like, when are you going to get there? I did all of that because the reason why I'm sending you to Genesis 37 is because you're going to read it when you get home. Here's the reason why you're going to read it when you get home. Because there has to be something by which we mind the gap. If I fill all the gaps for you, what good is that? If I tell you every aspect of what God wants to reveal to you, what will you do this week? See, my responsibility is to lay the foundation. Let's take you back 1 week. I'm going to go through it really, really fast. But I started with telling you, you need to go to Genesis 37. Some of us have been thinking, well, when is he going to get there? My question to you is, when will you get there? Oh, that's going to be good this week when y'all reading. It's going to be good this week when you're reading. It will, I promise you. Genesis 37 is a story. And there'll be two passages of scripture. You'll see it in your notes. Genesis 37 and then Genesis 45 is a story of a man named Joseph. Joseph, his life played out similar to the points that I gave you earlier. That's the reason why I can't tell you the whole story, because I'd keep you here forever. Y'all saw how I was preaching just on the review. Imagine if I was going to preach the whole text. Can't do that. We're running out of time. Genesis 37 is a story about a man named Joseph. I love Joseph because Joseph reminds me of myself. Highs and lows, highs and lows. And the Bible says this in the text. In verse 3, it says that, now, Joseph dreamed a dream. I think they'll put it up there for you. It says, Joseph dreamed a dream. Joseph told his brothers of the dream. And the Bible says that his brothers hated him for the dream. Said, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. There's going to be some things that'll bow down. I'll be the only one standing. Then it says that Joseph dreamed yet another dream, and his brothers hated him all the more. It says that as they hated him all the more, it says when you continue to read 37, it says that they go out in a field. His father says, go check on your brothers. Then to give you the context, Joseph was the son in which his father, Jacob, had been waiting for a long time. Jacob had some other wives, but this was the only son that he had by the wife that he loved. Are you with me? So Jacob had sons, but he loved Joseph, and he gave Joseph this really cool coat, the Bible says, of many colors, and he was favored by his dad. So when Joseph shares this dream with his brothers, they already hated him. But he tells this dream in which he would be sitting in leadership and they would be bowing down. He told it to them twice. They said, don't want you. Joseph's going out to visit his brothers. They see him coming and they say, oh, there's that dreamer. What should we do with the dreamer? So one of them says, let's kill him. Let's take his coat. Tell dad he died. How many of y'all got family members like that? Just kidding. Don't raise your hand. That would be the family member where I'm like, you know what? My last name is now Johnson. Okay? We done. I'm sorry. We can't hang out like that. So it says that the brothers say, hey, let's kill him. One of the brothers says, you know what? Don't kill him. What are we going to do? We're going to beat him up, throw him in the pit. Let's sell him. And then we'll just see what happens. So it says that a band of people came. They pulled him out of the pit, sold him for money. It says that Joseph goes, gets in a place called where he's working, Potiphar's house. And it says this. It says, as you continue to read. Now, remember, you have to read. Are you with me? You have to start at 37, but you need to get to 45. There's a gap. Are you with me? This is all a part of the message. Hopefully you realize. There's a gap. 37, he goes through, throw him in the pit, pick him up out of the pit. He starts working in Potiphar's house. The Bible says that Joseph finds favor in Potiphar's house, so much so that Potiphar says, there is no one greater in this house except for you and me. Says that he rises up to the top. He's a second in command after he was thrown in a pit. Now, I don't know if you guys, I don't know if I would want the story written like this. Because God shows us big things from time to time, but he leaves out details. You know why? Because there's a gap. And in this gap is where God reveals himself to you and cleanses you. Y'all see the tie-in now? How we were back together, but I can't preach on Joseph. So there's several things that God is doing in Joseph while Joseph's in the pit. He raises Joe up. Joe's second in charge. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, Potiphar's wife comes and she say, Joe, oh my God. Woo! There's some things that you got that I am not getting from Potiphar. You got to read the story. I'm not going to tell you all the details. The Bible says that she chases him day and night. She corners him one evening, and she says, the night's the night. When we become desperate housewives, real housewives in New York, my husband ain't here, and it's about to go down for real. Oh, so she says, Joe, this is it. And this is what Joseph does. The Bible says, now watch now, because remember, God's trying to cleanse us. He's trying to reveal himself to us. Contrary to some. Some might be like, girl, you right. Joe says, the Bible says Joseph runs out, she grabs his coat, and Joseph says this, as his master comes and says, what happened? You're going to prison. Joe responds when he was talking to the woman, he says, there is no way that I'm going to sin against the Lord my God. Watch now, not against your husband. Why? Because when God said something to me, he had been revealing himself to me. He is doing a process in me, and this has nothing to do with you. Can I tell you that when God tells you something has nothing to do with anybody else, you keep your relationship with God, you will find him when you search him with your whole heart. Joe's like, look, I've been running after him the whole time. Ain't no way I'm pulling the 80% today. Ain't no way. He runs. Potiphar's mad. He has to defend his wife. He's like, I heard these rumors before. She crazy anyway. But I have to be loyal to her. Go into the prison. Say what? You mean to tell me that I was dreaming a big dream? How I end up in a pit. Brothers don't even love me. I get promoted in a job I didn't ask you for, God. You ever been there? I didn't ask you for this. I said yes. You never been there? Sorry, that was my private conversation. Just let you. Takes him up high, brings him down low. Takes him up high, brings him down low. He's in the prison, the Bible says, for years. While he's in prison, one of the guys who worked for Pharaoh had a dream. Joseph goes, oh, I know what that dream means. The man gets promoted back to his position in the king's temple. He says, now listen, when you go, don't forget about me. I want to get out of here. I'm innocent. 2 years go by. Pharaoh has a dream. Do we have somebody? You're getting close to 45 by right now, just so y'all know. Who has a dream? Everybody has a dream. And I don't know, I have a dream. Do you know somebody who can interpret the dream? Yes, Joseph goes up, interprets the dream. Pharaoh says, I need somebody on my staff who has the heart of God that you have. no one is more qualified than you because the God that you serve is real. See, when we mind the gap, even the world will take notice. It also shows that you and I can be positioned in a secular environment and Jesus shine. Just saying. You didn't ask for that job. You're trying to get out of the job. But if we would let Jesus mind the gap, maybe you're strategically placed on the job. Just saying. He promotes him. He says, sounds familiar. He says, no one will be higher in this community other than you and me. Gives him a new coat, gives him a signet ring. The Bible says that there's some years of famine, years of prosperous, and his brothers have to come. Stand before Joseph. They don't know it's Joseph because they thought that he had died. They end up bowing. And as they bow, the Bible says that God starts working on Joseph's heart. And here, let me give you four things that happens in the gap and we're done. Four things, and I won't be able to give you all of them, but at the end here. Four things that happens that are benefits of the gap. The first thing is that we overcome condemnation. We overcome condemnation. Should I have told him the dream? I probably shouldn't have told him the dream. What's happening? I don't really know. They don't really like me. I don't really know. And you feel guilty because sometimes you make that mistake. Overcome condemnation. The second thing is that we overcome doubt. I'm in this prison. I'm in this pit. Are you going to do what you showed me? Have you ever doubted what God said? That's the second benefit. The first benefit of us minding the gap that God's working on. Remember, he's revealing himself. He's cleansing us. We overcome condemnation. We overcome doubt. Third thing, we answer the what if. We answer the what if by overcoming fear. What if it doesn't happen? What if God doesn't answer my prayer? What if this? We overcome that. We answer that question because we overcome fear. Even Moses had the problem. He said, what if they do not believe me or listen to me? The Lord did not appear to you. What if someone doesn't believe me when I tell them? See, in the process of God revealing himself and God cleansing himself, he deals with condemnation, he deals with doubt, and he deals with your fear. Mm-hmm. He deals with your fear. And here's the last thing. And number four, I remove never by overcoming reluctance. I will never see the dream that God showed me when I was a teenager. It will never happen. Moses said in Exodus, he says, oh Lord, I have never been eloquent of speech. When you read Exodus chapter 4, God says, hey, you know what? You don't even need to talk. I'll send your brother. I'll send your brother. It's fine. Our greatest pain can be a catalyst for our greatest gain in God's glory. Acts chapter 3 and verse 4, the man walked and leaped and he praised God. And the Bible says that everyone around was able to hear the gospel message because they were amazed by what miracle had been done. Joseph, when you read this week, 37 through Genesis 45, you'll see that the response that he has with his brothers, he says this, he says, now listen, I know you meant to do something that was harmful to me, but God actually positioned me here so that God could protect our family. What you meant for bad, God meant for evil. When God showed it to me, God allowed me to mind the gap. He was revealing himself to me. He was cleansing me. Because the moment that you were standing in front of me, I had to decide if I was going to be angry, if I was going to be hurtful to you, if I was going to resent you, if I was going to punish you. Little did I know that through that process, God was working on me. God was working on me. And now I realize that my pain produces his glory. I want to challenge you to mind the gap today. I want to challenge you that you are in the position you're in on purpose. Whether you think it's good, it's bad, painful, I want to challenge you to mind the gap this morning. Are you with me? I want to challenge you to mind the gap.
Thanks for joining us today. If you are in the Central Florida area, we'd love to meet you. Join us on Sundays in Southeast Orlando at City Place Church. Information on service times and directions can be found online at cityplacechurch.com.